Triple M turns the big 5-0.
Let's get excited.
Well, today's the day Rob Triple M is celebrating 50 years of radio on the Central Coast.
That's some milestone.
Now, the thing is that Triple M's been here about 4 years. Before that, it was 2GO. And this next guest, he dominated the airwaves on Triple M as breakfast host. His name is Cameron Humphreys. He joins us from Queensland this morning. Mr. Humphreys, good morning.
G'day, Cam.
Boys, good morning. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you, mate. And you're an instrumental part of that, buddy. How long was it you were doing breakfast here on the Central Coast?
Mate, you know, I've forgotten. As you get older, you forget these things, boys.
And you cry at the drop of a hat.
15 years, something like that.
15 years. Wow. Yeah. And dominated, Cam.
Yes, mate. Cameron and Sarah, we had the highest ratings ever on the Central Coast. Tens of thousands of people, over 50%, actually, in the breakfast mix. So we don't know how we did it, but we did it.
That's extraordinary. 50%. Never heard of it.
52%.
That is massive, Cam. Mate, yeah. In your time, you would have seen a lot of sales reps come and go.
I wasn't going to touch on that.
Sounds like an in-joke.
No. Industry gag.
Yes, of course. But, mate, in that time, were there any particular moments you went, that was the greatest thing that's ever happened?
On air?
Yes.
Yes, without a doubt, Gimme Five for Kids. I would think there's probably a lot of Central Coast people who well remember Gimme Five for Kids, which started off as one morning a bit of an ad lib in the studio when Sarah had some small change that no one would accept, and I said, you know what, let's start collecting money and give it to a charity. As it turned out, we gave it to the Kids Hospital in Gosford, and we thought we'd get, you know, maybe $50 to $100. We got tens of thousands of dollars in small change. And so Gimme Five for Kids was born. It took off.
As you stumbled into an extraordinary level of generosity on the Central Coast.
Absolutely. And I would hope, I'm very, very proud of it. I would hope that there's still a plaque up in the kids' ward of the very first, the inaugural year of Gimme Five for Kids, with Cameron and Sarah's name on it, and I hope it's there in perpetuity.
And, Cam, that is the thing with being a local, being on the Central Coast, the amount that you can do for local charities, which you have in capital cities, you have trouble doing that, but locally, from a local angle, it's so easy to do.
Absolutely. Well, like you guys, you're neighbours. You are neighbours of the people on the Central Coast. You are over the back fence. And that's why it all works, and that's what worked for us, you know, pressing the flesh and getting out there and showing people that you're on the same level. You know, you're not a $2 million a year earner in Sydney or Melbourne. You're just a couple of blokes on the Central Coast having a crack and doing it for the community, and that's truly the key to it all.
Yeah, exactly, mate. And now, how is, after all the time on the Central Coast, retirement going well, buddy?
Retirement's fantastic. I've just found a new walking frame, and it's superb. It's chrome.
It's chrome. But, mate, yeah. You don't even have to oil that.
And you can park close to the club now.
I bought a duplex right next door. Look, life's good. Wish I was back in radio. I know that's not going to happen. But, you know, best years of my life.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Well, listen, thank you for taking part in celebrating 50 years of radio on the Central Coast. So many people remember you, Cameron Humphreys, and thanks for joining us this morning, mate.
Happy birthday to everyone at Triple M.
Serving the Central Coast, 2GO. Here is a news flash from the 2GO newsroom.
Hi, I'm Ross Bryant. I was a journalist and newsreader at 2GO for 34 years, from 1978 to 2012. And on the day of our 50th birthday, I'm here to give you some of the biggest stories from the coast over the last half century. November 19, 1971, the Central Coast's first ever radio station was broadcasting on 1310 AM. 2GO covered the biggest news stories from all over the community.
Errol Smith is now on the scene.
Yes, Greg, police have been at the scene of this morning's shooting since the body of the victim was discovered just before dawn.
May 1974, and the coast was hit with cyclonic storms causing millions of dollars damage. Flooding was widespread and communication and power supplies thrown into disarray. Huge boulders were washed ashore at Terrigal and yachts were beached at Graham Park in Gosford. January 1975, an old Sydney Town theme park was opened by then Australian Prime Minister Gough Whitlam. The multi-million dollar reconstruction of Sydney in the 1800s was closed decades later in 2003.
As the convicts were released and the gates closed behind them, Australia loses an important link to its colonial past.
All we have now are memories of school excursions. January 1st, 1980, and the city of Gosford was proclaimed and the first mayor appointed, Don Leggett. At the time, the district's population was just over 90,000. December 1986, and a 15-kilometre section of the freeway was opened between Calga and Somersby. This featured twin bridges over Moonee Moonee Creek.
Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me very great pleasure in declaring open the new Moonee Moonee Bridge and this section of the National Highway.
August 1987, and the Southern Hemisphere's largest single-level shopping centre opened here.
Everybody loves Erin Affairs.
The Central Coast Fair still remains the biggest regional shopping centre in Australia, although since opening has been renamed Erin Affair. In 1994, the coast was rocked by major bushfires. The F3 freeway was blocked by smoke and flames, and many locals had to take shelter at the Central Coast Lees Club.
Do you have another truck that can give us assistance urgently?
Immediate danger to structure.
We are trapped.
While it was a terrible time for many, it brought out the best in our locals who came out of the woodwork to help each other through it. In August 2000, Gosford City hosted a huge community celebration for the Olympic torch relay. The event being held at Graham Park. With lots of school choirs in attendance, many coasties spent the next few weeks following the torch around the whole community. June 2007, and a major storm system hit the coast with widespread flooding around the local areas. This was the year that Pasha Bulka ran aground at Nobby's Beach in Newcastle. Thousands of residents flocked to the site to catch a glimpse of the huge container ship stranded on the sand.
Well, I just watched it just come straight in with waves crashing over the side of it. It was unbelievable.
And in 2013, the Central Coast Mariners won their first ever A-League championship.
The Central Coast Mariners have a championship at last.
Which caused mass celebrations up and down the coast. Fingers crossed for many more. And now you're up to date with some of the biggest stories from the last 50 years. Happy birthday, 2GO and Triple M.
We've been looking over the last couple of days at big news events that happened on the Central Coast. And one was about 10 years ago, and it happened off Avoca. This is courtesy of Channel 10.
HMAS Adelaide hasn't been in service for 2 years, but she can still pull a crowd.
We're very interested in seeing the HMAS Adelaide. I brought my boys with me this morning.
It's a part of history for the Central Coast, I think, today, and what a beautiful morning for her, aren't they lucky?
Protesters delayed the scuttling of the ex-Navy ship for a year, but the wait still wasn't over. The Big Bang was put off for another hour and a half because of a pod of curious dolphins.
Those pesky dolphins.
That's not fair.
Thousands rocked up, and this man had the best seat in the house on that day. His name is Cam St. Clair, still works with our radio network, joins us this morning. Good morning, Cam.
Hi, Cam.
Good morning. Good morning, Patty and Rob. How are you going?
Not too bad.
Happy birthday.
Mate.
Happy, yes.
Yeah. 50th birthday, 50 years of radio, Cammy, celebrating on the Central Coast.
It's a long time, and proud to have been a part of it, along with you, Patty, and Rob as well. And it's been, but yeah, I heard you say just before, I don't know how they chose 49 Henry Parry Drive as a location for a radio station, because you may as well, to be honest, build a radio station in a massive tunnel.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, the amount of problems that's caused over the years. Put a radio station down a mine in a cave, and that's pretty much exactly where we are.
But from humble beginnings, we've progressed, Cam.
At least we got free parking. That's all right.
Yeah, exactly. Now, mate, on that day that the HMAS was scuttled off of Avoca Beach, you did have the best seat in the house, didn't you?
I couldn't believe it. That was one of those moments where I thought I've nailed a pretty good job here when the boss goes, hey, we want to do some like live crosses on the air. on the air, in the air, and do you want to, you know, jump, get in the chopper? And I, like, A, had never been in a helicopter before, so that was quite appealing. And B, I mean, you're floating a few hundred metres above the beautiful Central Coast, watching, you know, a very important event occur live was amazing. It was incredible. Wow. The view was spectacular. I've still got loads of photos and video of it and stuff, and, yeah, still tell the stories to this day.
What an exciting thing to watch from right above it. Did you see, were there explosions? Tell us about how they sunk the ship.
Well, it was. I heard later on that a lot of it was a bit of bravado. So they put fireworks, and you know, I think the vision that people might remember is like a big puff of smoke and a big flame and stuff coming from the top of the ship when the countdown, you know, hit zero. But apparently that was all basically just for show. In the end, downstairs, you know, in the hull of the ship, they just had a bunch of corks, and the corks got pulled out, and down she went.
Perfect.
But, you know, when you've got 10, you know, 15,000 people on the beach, and, you know, the lots of people watching via TV and stuff as well, you need to make it look good, right? So I think the fireworks certainly made it more than it actually was. I also, one of the things that I remember thinking at the time was, oh, there's this huge build-up, and I think you remember there was a competition for someone to actually press the button that that detonated the ship. Mm. It was this huge build-up, but in the end, the ship was gone in like 15 seconds. That was it. I was like, all right, well, what do we do now?
It is made of steel, and it had holes all through it.
Because it was massive. Yeah. It was 138 metres, and it went down to a depth of 32 metres. But and Cam, there were thousands of people there.
Oh, it was packed, like, yeah, absolutely packed. And then, of course, stuff with the dolphin gate as well.
Yes.
Having to put it off. They had the Channel 9 and Channel 10 choppers in the air. And, you know, they were burning like something like $200 worth of fuel a minute. But they were up there for 45 minutes. I think at one stage, one of the choppers that we hired was running low on fuel. And they had to go back to the base at Erina, refill, and then they were worried that they were actually going to miss it because they'd waited for so long.
Damn dolphins.
So, yeah, exactly. There's still a little, I think there's a bit of a conspiracy about how the dolphins actually managed to hit the warm water flow as well. Some people think that someone tried to drive, like, you know, basically herded them and drove them to close enough to the ship to stop sinking. And
what's that, Flipper? They're scuttling a ship, Flipper. All right, go get your friends.
But, mate, it was just one of those events on the Central Coast that people still talk about. And it's 10 years later, Cammy.
I can't believe it's been 10 years. It doesn't feel like that long ago. But, yeah, it was the perfect day for it. And, you know, what an incredible thing for the Central Coast. Like, I know heaps of people that dive it. I've always said, oh, I'd love to do it, but never have. But I know that there are a lot of people that enjoy it and travel here because of it.
Yes, you know? it's really been good. Great for tourism on the Central Coast. Cam, thank you so much for taking time out this morning and reliving your time in the helicopter as we watched the HMAS Adelaide sunk off of Boca Beach, Cammy. Take care,
boys.
Well, today, Rob, it is Triple M celebrating 50 years of radio on the Central Coast.
Quite incredible.
1971, 2GO started, and this man started back in 1975 on 2GO. His name is Ross Bryant. He joins us this morning. Mr. Bryant, good morning,
Mr.
sir.
Hello, Ross. Mr. Palmer, nice to be here.
Roscoe, how many years all up at the radio station?
I think it was 2 months shy of 38.
Wow, nearly 4 decades.
Mm.
You've covered some bases, I imagine. What's of news stories on the Central Coast, the one that really just sticks out?
Oh, I think it would have to be the bushfires in 94. I know that in the newsroom we were on deck for 11 days straight because it was just a very dire situation. And so the whole team pulled together beautifully. It was a real team effort for the community, and the community responded.
So that must be a record. So 34 years in the newsroom, Roscoe, that'd have to be a record for anyone, really.
I have no idea. I've never Googled me.
What were some of the other ones? The bushfires, because that blocked the highway and people down the southern end couldn't get back home.
The only way up here was on the Palm Beach Ferry. The rail line was blocked. It was blocked, and we had people on the coast who were sleeping in the Hornsby RSL Hall. That was the only accommodation they could find until the freeway opened.
And in your time, your 34 years, covered a few dodgy pollies.
Well... I'd prefer not to comment on that one, but I've covered a few dodgy people, not just politicians, but also...
Just look across from you there.
No names, no pack, you'll have had. But I've also covered some sensational people, and that's what kept me interested in the newsroom, the fact that there's so many lovely things happening, quite apart from the ghastly stuff.
And Roscoe, you had a great rapport with the Central Coast Police.
Yeah.
And you quite often got scoops because of that rapport.
Yeah. Yeah. I was proud of that.
Yeah.
To be honest, because the relationship between the media and police can be a bit fraught at times.
That's right.
But we got along well. They trusted me and I trusted them, and therefore it paid benefits both ways.
That's right. You try and get comments from the police now on things, you know, out of school, and it just would not happen. So
no, they just steer you through a spokesman these days. But yeah. No, I was able to get a lot of stuff off the record. And I respected confidences, and they respected that.
Roscoe, was there, apart from the bushfires, were there any other stories that you just went, wow, that was a pretty harrowing one, or maybe even emotional?
All of the above, Pat. Yeah, absolutely. Remember the little kid who was trapped down a well at Arimba? That was back in the early 80s. I can't think of his name now. It'd probably embarrass him if I said it.
Yeah.
We had floods, of course. I heard Cam St. Clair yesterday talking about the sinking of Adelaide. Well, we're out there with Terrigal Sea Rescue. So we got the water eye view and he got the bird's eye view.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I spoke to a lady at the gym. Her name is Margaret. And she was telling me, did 2GO have a transmitter site at Arimba?
Yes.
And she said when the floods came, all the staff, even the guy on air, had to pack up and go to Arimba and sandbag because they feared that it would flood. And if it flooded, the whole station would be off. So I don't know what that would have been earlier on in the piece.
Would have been earlier in the piece. And I mean, it's a bright idea to put a transmitter in a floodplain, isn't it? But, we did go off the air once because somebody was working with a bulldozer out in that area and they cut the cable between the transmitter and the station. So we had to pack up all our stuff. And I stood there at the transmitter with a hand mic doing the news.
Oh, how about that?
Very good.
Yeah, mad improvisation.
Did you, in your news time cover in 2010, the Dancing with the Stars winner, that was on Channel 7?
It doesn't leak to mind, Paddy.
It doesn't.
I must admit.
Oh, does it? Are you sure?
We had some audio here of Rob's win, Roscoe. It may escape the news team at that stage.
Yeah, I don't know how that big one slid past.
No, massive one slid past. Almost slid past as veltly as that slim dinosaur. Ploddy. Wanted to ask you.
Ross Bryant, Roscoe, will know. Ross Bryant will know.
How much does Ploddy weigh?
There's a rumour going around it's 100 tonnes.
Thank you, sir.
I don't know whether that's accurate.
Oh, well, there you go, Paddy Gerard.
I was doing my research and it was cool. It's called Ploddy the Dinosaur, Australia's Most Famous. Too big of a word I can't pronounce.
It would have to be 40 cubic metres of solid concrete to weigh 100 tonnes. So I just don't know that it's completely solid concrete if there might be some fiberglass involved.
It said it was 100 tonnes from what I read.
Oh, well, when the book says it's 100 tonnes, it's 100 tonnes.
Actually, you would have covered that story in 1986 when Ploddy left Wyoming.
Yes.
Oh, 1996, I should say.
Yes, 96. We did. And Ploddy went down the main drag and up to his new home.
Yep. See, that's right.
On the back of a truck.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, a big truck.
Must have been a big truck, 100 ton on the back of a truck.
Well, Roscoe, mate, thank you so much for coming in to celebrate the birthday of Triple M celebrating 50 years of radio on the Central Coast, which was 2GO, which you were 38 years a part of. So good to have you in the studio, mate. And, mate, thank you for your contribution to radio on the Central Coast.
That's very kind of you, Paddy. Thanks so much. Great being with you, boys.
And over this week, we've been looking at events on the Central Coast that have occurred in the 50 years. And it is so, so good to be speaking to. He is the former unofficial mayor of Avoca until there are cash issues.
Where else has he been unofficial mayor?
Well, he's unofficial mayor of Saratoga now.
Right.
It is Eddie Johnson. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, Eddie.
Good morning, Paddy and Rob. How are you?
Not too bad, sir. Yourself?
Oh, excellent, mate. Excellent. And God's company out here at Saratoga, mate.
There it is. The real estate prices have just gone up even further.
Well done.
Now, Edward, you are like on the Central Coast, very well known. You were the Centrelink manager at Peninsula for many years, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Played with Townies.
Gosford Townies.
Did you coach there as well?
Yeah, coached there and played at Erina before that.
Gosford Carrion Junior Rugby League Football Club. You, how many years were you associated with that club for?
Over 30 years. Still have a little bit. Still involved.
And then, of course, with Central Coast Junior Rugby League, you were coach and manager there and as well.
Yeah, that's right. And president for a period of time.
You've really packed it in over your 40 years, haven't you?
I have done a bit in the community over those years.
Yeah, the only club he hasn't been associated with was Alcoholics Anonymous, but I think that's coming. But now you're a board member of Central Coast Leagues Club as well.
Yeah, I've been on the board for about the last 17, 18 years. Yeah, we've got our annual general meeting actually tonight, so any members would like to come along at 7 o'clock, got to be in before 7 o'clock, we'd greatly appreciate it. Love to see you there.
Yeah, I always wondered about those board meetings. I imagine it like, you know, in the Flintstones, the Grand Pooh Bar, and the, you know, they go in there.
No. A very inclusive meeting.
Okay. You don't wear the leopard skin hats
the
with
big
the horns.
Horn leopard skin, yeah. And loincloths.
No, Rob started it, Edward. But mate, because you played with Townies, and people don't know where Central Coast Stadium is now.
Oh, that was once Graham Park.
No, I'll correct you both. It is still Graham Park. The stadium, the buildings on it, they might call them the stadium, but the park itself is still Graham Park.
Because they've got the big
Park with a stadium on it.
That's exactly right. Have a look at the front, the big
sandstone.
Sandstone
monument.
Same grass.
And Ed, so all the local rugby league used to be played there at Graham Park.
We used to the semi-finals, grand finals and that, and Gosford Townies used to use that as their own home ground. Gosford Cricket Club used to play there, and prior to that, the Gosford Hockey Club used to play on the number 2 oval years ago. Gosford Athletics Club started off there as well. Real history, yeah.
And now board member of Central Coast Leagues Club, is there any, and like when you mention Central Coast Leagues Club, everyone always talks about Club Troppo. Is there any bloody chance of getting Club Troppo back?
I think, Paddy, we've got now this up top. We've got a very small sort of area that is where the young people go now. It's very popular. Saturday night, Friday nights, and you've got to get there early, otherwise you can't get in. It's with all the rules and regulations, about 180, 200 odd people. It really goes off, but the young people were flocking to it.
Yeah. And, mate, how long was Club Troppo on the Central Coast for, Ed?
I think it started in over 20 years. I think in the 80s, 86 or something like that, or 82, and went to 2006.
Great
event. You know, probably what the changes in laws and liquor laws and things like that, plus the outsiders that would travel up from Sydney and turn left at the bridge instead of going out at the entrance, caused all the problems.
Fair enough. The heydays of nightclubs.
And I could imagine, that's what we're going to look at after 8 o'clock. Did you meet at a Central Coast nightclub? Imagine.
Paddy, you better not tell them your stories about the night you met that beautiful blonde called Beatrice. That's for sure.
Hello. All right.
Robert, give it to him. Yeah.
All right, then we'll leave you there.
You and I can stay and chat after we get off air here.
And the motto was, if you couldn't get lucky at Club Troppo, you couldn't get lucky anywhere. Edward, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, and I was going to say, don't forget the Central Coast League Club meeting on tonight as well for members. Yeah, all right then, mate.
See you there tonight.
Okay. See you, Eddie. Thanks, Eddie Johnson. Eddie. Jeez, he's done a few things, hasn't he?
Wow,
it's interesting to know, isn't it?
Some people just don't stop.
Exactly. This week we're looking at the big stories that happened in the last 50 years, and one of them happened, on June 8th, 2007, so 14 years ago. And from NBN News...
It was a visitor that took Newcastle by surprise. The Pasha Bulka had been caught too close to shore in a fierce southerly gale, and just before 10 o'clock on the 8th of June, she ran aground, first hitting rocks north of Newcastle Beach before bumping and grinding its way along the shelf to Nobby's.
Yes, from NBN News, we've got the weatherman Gavin Morris with us. Good morning, Gav.
Hey, Gav.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning.
Like it was yesterday. Remember that story, buddy?
Oh, look, you know, it was absolutely huge. You know, I mean, it was a big day. It was very, very distinct. You know, for me at that point, I was senior forecaster at the Weather Channel. So, you know, we were watching the whole thing unfold and it was very, very distinct. And I had this moment where the boss came in and, you know, he was quite excited about the event because we had a very, very distinct spike in ratings, etc. And he said, oh, it's going to be a big night tonight. And I said to him, look, I'm not looking at it that way. I said, tonight, people are going to lose their lives. And it was a matter of hours. Oh, not even. I think it was about an hour later, and we had that tragic loss of life straight away, and that was that family. You know, the road was washed away, yeah. And we lost five lives instantly. And then another one that really impacted very, very hard that night was the other couple, the older couple that were driving through, you know, floodwaters. And I think nine people in total lost their lives that night. So it was a very, very distinct memory that I have because it just had all of the markings of a real dangerous, nasty system. And it certainly played out that way.
Yeah, it was deadly East Coast low.
What happens for a ship of that size to end up U-turning onto a beach at Newcastle? How can that even happen?
Yeah, I know. It was truly extraordinary. It was almost two of them, too. My mate actually was a cameraman, and he's just rung me, and he said, Cav, you're not going to believe what I'm looking at right now. and that's when the Pasha Bulka, and he said, there's another one. So in the Stockton Bight, close to the Cigna, another one was in the same position. And we almost had two. It was a part of the story that everybody kind of forgets, that we nearly had two wash up, but the other one was just going hammer and tong, and it kept its bow to the wind, and it was able to escape the winds. Look, right along the Newcastle coast, yeah, it was very, very famous for having a lot of coal ships there anchored off, and they were all quite close. And they used to sit there, and they'd sit out storms like this. And that's why we had the Cigna run aground in 1974, and of course the Pasha Bulka as well. But their chains would drag, and that's exactly what occurred with the Pasha Bulka. You had the East Coast low form, and intensified cyclonic winds, extremely powerful, driving onshore, directly onshore, because it was a very intense, localized focus system, this one. And it just drove those ships back towards the coast. They were dragging their chain, then they tried to raise them, and once they did raise them, then there was, you know, no hope, you know, for the Pasha Bulka then to escape the wind. So, yeah, the Pasha then just became this extraordinary scene getting washed on Nobby's Beach.
And, Gav, it became a tourist attraction. I know myself, my wife, and my kids headed up there to Newcastle to have a look, and I remember driving around the front. Where is this ship? Where is the ship? We came around the bend, and there it was. It was extraordinary scenes.
Yeah, and that photo is still so famous today. It still keeps popping up on social media, particularly around this time of the year where, you know, this photo is not photoshopped. It looks like two different photos. It was an incredible thing. And actually, Bosco posted a photo the other day. Bosco is a really famous surf photographer. He's just done some brilliant work. And he's got this epic photo of this surfer just doing this huge aerial off this massive wave. And behind him is the Pasha Bulka.
and you know what? It was such a huge event. We stayed at Nelson Bay over that week, and NBN were actually doing coverage of the extraction of the Pasha Bulka, and we were taking bets as to whether it would come out or not. It was huge, this story.
Yeah, it really was. And look, and now the awards as well. The chopper pilot from the Westpac rescue helicopter now became like a superhero too, because, you know, he somehow, you know, hovered that chopper, you know, over the Pasha Bulka. And I think he got the pilot or something, you know, onto the decker, and he was rescuing people off at the same time. It was an extraordinary moment of piloting as well. So people became legends, you know, from the Pasha Bulka running aground as well. And, you know, there's so many people that didn't do what you did. They didn't come down for a look, and they still regret it to this day. They're like, damn it, I didn't go and look at the Pasha Bulka.
Yeah, it was. And we've still got the pictures. And I remember we even filmed it on video. It was just, it was something to behold. It really was. Gav, mate, thank you so much for taking time out and reliving memories, because we're celebrating 50 years of radio on the Central Coast. And thanks for taking part with us, mate.
Thanks, Gav.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime. Have a good day.
The Central Coast Zone 107.7 Triple M is officially 50. That's 50 years of broadcasting from the exact same spot, right here on Henry Parry Drive in the heart of Gosford. Yep, we've been here for a long time, and we've seen and been a part of so many things here on the coast, so much history. Let's take a look back now. I'm living in the 70s. In 1970, Australia's first ever rock music festival happened right here in Orimba. The Pilgrimage for Pop saw over 10,000 people party in Australia's first ever mass musical gathering. Following that, the Central Coast music scene was ignited, and the first ever coastie radio station was born.
2GO today begins official transmission. My name is Keith Graham, manager of 2GO, one of the proudest men in Australia at this moment. 2GO!
Broadcasting on the AM band on 1310, the first ever song we played was Everything is Beautiful by Ray Stevens. In 1973, we were one of the first to drive over the brand new Hawkesbury River Bridge on the F3.
Minister for Highways and Local Government, Sir Charles Cutler, accompanied by the Commissioner for Main Roads, RJS Thomas, opened the bridge to northbound traffic at a short ceremony at the southern abutment.
We helped cut the ribbon at Old Sydney Town Theme Park in 1975.
Live from Old Sydney Town, 2GO on Australia Day.
And if we're just about to witness something here.
Go back to early times, go back in history. I want to go back to Old Sydney Town to find out why I'm me. I want to go back to Old Sydney Town, I'm an Australian. I want to go back to Old Sydney Town to where it all began.
In the 80s, things got electric. The Gosford to Newcastle train line was electrified. In 1989, we got to pack our bags and head to uni as the Orimba campus of Newcastle Uni opened up. The early 90s saw 2GO go from AM to FM.
Serving the Central Coast. 2GO. FM 108.
The 7 o'clock news, I'm Rod Earl.
In 1991, local coastie legend David Fairley made his State of Origin debut.
Replacements being warmed up, David Fairley. Geez, a giant of a man, this fellow. I've watched a lot of his junior football up in the Orimba Club on the Central Coast, and he has just grown and grown since he's got to Sydney. And he got some size.
In 1996, Plotty the Dinosaur went for a walk. She and the Reptile Park relocated from Wyoming to Summersby, and the whole town turned up to do the walk up the hill with them.
The Gosford City farewell to Plotty March has now commenced!
Tourism started to really boom in the 90s. 1.4 million people holidayed on the coast in 1998. Whoa!
Life balance, I reckon. It's family, it's wife and child, and that time, you get instant gratification out of it.
It was also the decade where born and bred coastie Mark Scaife won his first ever V8 championship.
24 years of age, Melbourne, calling from the Central Coast. As Mark Scaife comes across to take the checkered flag.
In fact, he won three over this decade. As we stepped into a new century, the coast got even busier. The Olympics were held in Sydney in the year 2000, which means several coastie locations became training grounds, including the Terrigal Basketball Stadium, which became a training hub for many athletes.
Tonight, we welcome the world's greatest athletes and their supporters to Sydney, Australia.
That same year, the Central Coast got a stadium, and it's still there now, being all stadium-like.
$30 million has been spent on this magnificent stadium. 20,000 seat capacity and every seat sold out.
The 2010s were just as busy. In 2011, we all lined the shores of North Avoca Beach to watch the HMAS Adelaide get sunk to create an artificial reef.
We're very interested in seeing the HMAS Adelaide.
It's a part of history for the Central Coast, I think, today. And what a beautiful morning for it, aren't they lucky?
And then it just kind of disappeared very quickly. Now I'm looking forward to diving on it.
In 2012, the Mariners became A-League premiers for the second time, then backed it up next year by becoming A-League champions.
That's the whistle to his mouth. He blows it now. And finally, it has taken 8 years, four grand finals, and an awful lot of heartache along the way. But the Central Coast Mariners have a championship at last.
It was also the decade we said goodbye to our first ever name. 2GO was put to bed, along with all the catchy jingles we had, like this. Lying on the sand, get a little tan, hunt fun in the summertime. Summer Station 2GO. We said goodbye to 2GO. And hello to Triple M.
The most up-to-date Central Coast traffic and Central Coast weather, all delivered by Central Coast locals, just like you. That's who we are. We are everything Central Coast. That's what we do. There's only one. The Coast's own. 107.7 Triple M.
And we can't look back at the last 50 years without acknowledging the amazing musical moments we've seen on the coast. We've had some of the biggest bands in the country record and make music in our own backyard. Silverchair recording their album at the Grove Studios in Somersby. Also the same spot where Eskimo Joe recorded the Black Fingernails' Red Wine album. And where Birds of Tokyo like to come to make their albums. In regards to gigs, we've seen it all. So many bands have played iconic gigs at iconic venues. Crowded House at Central Coast Leagues. Powderfinger at the Long Jetty Pub. Midnight Oil at the Doilo. Lionel at the Stadium. AC/DC at Wyong Hall. And the biggest music festival the coast has ever seen. Narara Music Festival in 83 and 84 was massive. In Excess, Men at Work, The Angels, Def Leppard, Eurythmics, Simple Minds, Talking Heads, and so many more played some of the best gigs ever recorded in Australia. As we look back at everything we've seen on the coast, we raise a glass to you, Coasties. Thank you for making the Central Coast an amazing place to live. And thank you for being part of our history too. Here's to 50 years of broadcasting on the coast and to 50 years more. Because for us, this is our home too. And we bloody love it.